news, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton. It is 7 minutes after 8 o'clock on Mobile Mornings. The Ascension Technologies text line is there for you to wish Dalton a very happy 32nd birthday or whatever you want to text about. 251-343-0106. And also, we are turning up your voice this hour. If you want to call us at that same number, feel free.
Yes. And I don't know, what restaurant does the best happy birthday song? I guess the reason that all those restaurants made up their own happy birthday songs, wasn't it a copyright issue with the OG happy birthday song, the original?
Well, maybe.
I think it was because of copyright that all of these different restaurant chains had to come up with their own birthday songs.
Well, how many versions are there? Does McDonald's has one? O'Charley's? Of course, O'Charley's now closed.
I'm not sure. They have closed a lot of O'Charley's. O'Charley's definitely had their own birthday chant.
Okay.
I don't think McDonald's has ever, you know, saying happy birthday to any of their customers.
Now, and you know, you were in that business, so yeah. But McDonald's is not that comfy kind of place. But isn't it just one other birthday version song?
You got the happy, happy birthday, we're so glad you came. There's all kinds of different from the O'Charley's gang, right?
Happy, 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 happy birthday. Isn't that the one?
Sounds familiar.
It's just one. See, I thought that was the alternate one right there.
I think there's several alternates that come. One time we took my mom to a Mexican restaurant for her birthday.
Oh, man.
And they basically hit her in the face with a pie. It's like we went to a circuit. Like, wow. Didn't think that you're going to hit us with food for it being my mom's birthday.
Somebody celebrated the birthday, they hit you in the face?
They brought out one of those at a Mexican restaurant. What is it? Empanada? No. What's the dessert that you can get at Mexican restaurants? Totally blanking on it now.
But yep. It had
like honey and all this kind of stuff on it. Huh. And they like hit her in the nose. It's like, wow, thanks. Thanks for the happy birthday there. Good stuff. Economy. That's the story we've had this morning. And several of you on the text line have been responding to this poll that we started talking about, Morning Consult poll. And we have all these, I mean, you've seen the Associated Press, I've seen the Wall Street Journal, so many different news organizations who are more or less taking the Biden administration line that inflation's dropping, Jack. What Biden say last week? He was talking to maybe auto workers then, pre-strike, or he was talking to somebody, and he said, inflation has been dropping for 13 consecutive months, and that's never happened in any other administration. And so many of us out here, especially if you keep an eye on your receipts and your finances, you're thinking, inflation isn't rising as fast as it was, because we were moving at a very good clip there just a year after all that money was spent from the federal government. I mean, wasn't inflation up, according to the federal government's own numbers, 8, 9, 10% year over year?
Yeah.
You look at some of the other numbers people have come out with, and it was actually closer to 15 or 16% month to month. Well, now, heading into the election season, you have all these people saying, look, Biden actually has inflation under control, and the economy's doing much better than anyone's willing to admit. But then you have this poll, which tracks a lot closer to what I think everyday Americans are dealing with here. This is a CNBC poll, okay? So this isn't from Breitbart News or Zero Hedge or anything like that. This is CNBC, a Morning Consult poll. 92% of Americans say they've cut back on their spending in the past 6 months. 92%. 76% say they plan to continue to cut back on spending on non-essential items all the way through the holiday season. So as we gear up for Black Friday and Christmas shopping, 76% of Americans thereabout say they're not going to spend as much money as they usually do.
I wonder how that's going to affect Christmas and holiday spending, because we're dealing with just, you know, like the price of beef.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't have, my doctor wouldn't like this, but I do eat beef.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have tacos or I'll have a hamburger or whatever.
You're like Gordon. I mean, some of the pictures you post of your dinners that you make, you're like Gordon Ramsay some nights.
Well,
wow, Dan put that together. That's impressive.
When I make a steak, you know, that's my Sunday night thing. But so I'm not even, you know, steak, you know, you're going to have to pay. And if you can find a big ribeye for $15, you're getting a deal, but more than likely it's going to be 20. But just the price of ground beef, I'll have spaghetti. So I'll mm-hmm. have ground beef and spaghetti. I have tacos, ground beef there. So those are the reasons that I buy it. And it's so it's a staple for me. And it's double. It seems like it's, and I could be wrong, and I'm trying to look online to see what the price of beef is or where it's been. I remember buying a package of beef that cost about $5, now seems to cost closer to 10 or 11.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of dang money.
It is. And that's what's crazy to me is looking at this poll. And 50. So this isn't just some small. They didn't talk to 10 people. They polled 4,400 U.S. adults.
Yeah.
And this was just last week, Tuesday to Thursday. 54% say they've made major budget cuts, and groceries have been part of those cuts.
Yeah.
If you're cutting back on your spending on groceries, then the food you were leaving the grocery store with just 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Maybe double what you might leave now if you're trying to cut back on the spending.
It feels like it.
It's
feels
insane.
I used to do that little thing. It would go through the store, and if I didn't have like too many items, I would just in my mind try to calculate what's this going to cost me, and you know, be $80, whatever, you know. I'm way off all the time now. If I walk up and I'm thinking to myself, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, I think this would have cost me about $80.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's like $115 or something. I mean, it's just, and that's just, I understand that's not science. I'm just saying that it definitely affects me, and it makes me pick and choose more in the grocery store when back in the day I just got what I needed.
Yeah.
And of course, back when I had a family and all, you just get what you need. But now with you, you're in that spot now.
Oh, I'm finding out now.
You're finding out now, yeah.
Yeah, just milk and eggs, just mm-hmm. the basics, you know. It's like, wow, those have gone up incredibly.
I think eggs are coming back down. I think I saw a story about that.
You've got some of these other budget cuts. So 63% say they've cut spending on clothing and apparel.
Mm-hmm.
62.
I mean, look at me, obviously.
62% say they've cut back on going out to eat at restaurants or going out to bars. That's probably, as far as my small family's concerned, going out to eat is the big one. You know, now we try to limit it to once a week. And for a time there, it was, you know, 3-4 times. Or heck, during the pandemic, think of how many people were ordering in from stores who had decided they wanted to start delivering. 56% are cutting back on entertainment outside the home. 54%.
That'd be like concerts and music, music.
Games.
Football
games.
Right.
53% have cut back on recreational travel and vacations, and 50% have cut back on electronics. And I'm sure that includes, you know, streaming apps or renting movies to watch, things of that nature. Now, the numbers that they've come up with since Biden's taken office, they say inflation is up 16.9%. Even that, to me, seems low. Hmm. Seems maybe lower than it actually is. The number they keep putting out there now is, take this from CNBC, who they're the ones who have these crazy numbers about how many people are cutting back. And then they follow that up saying, while inflation has come down in the past year, it's ticked up in the past 2 months, largely due to higher gas prices, and at 3.7% is still stubbornly high. I would say so. And they also say economists are still at odds as to whether the U.S. will avoid a recession. Didn't they change the definition of a recession pretty early on in all this? Because I think it was 2 quarters in a row of negative growth.
Right. And so they changed the definition of it. So there, it's not a recession. And now you can have an argument over whether it is or whether it's not. It just, I don't know what a recession is supposed to feel like, but what's going on right now does not feel good. Farmers and ranchers are paying more for their feed. So as they raise chickens, or they raise chickens and there's your egg produce, or for cows, for their cattle and the beef, they're paying more to create the product. And of course, now you're seeing we're paying more on the grocery end,
mm-hmm.
a good bit more. And remember, all of this comes after. And of course, we were not locked down like so many other states were more significantly locked down during COVID, right? But we were still locked down.
Yeah.
For a good, seemed like a year. So everybody was bursting at the seams to get out and go do something, go on vacation, go to Europe, right?
That's right. Oh, yeah.
Now with the inflation has just crashed all that down. Now, even those who wanted to get out, get away, live it up a little bit, inflation's saying that's not the thing to do right now.
Yeah, and I saw a chart just the other day. I wish I'd have held on to it. And it showed American savings compared to credit card debt. And as soon as those trillions of dollars came out from the federal government, it was incredible. Savings skyrocketed. Americans had more money per American in their bank accounts than ever before. At the same time, credit card debt dropped just as precipitously as the savings went up.
Yeah.
But then it didn't last like that hardly at all. If you look at that same chart now, credit cards debt is maybe higher than it's ever been. I think that's pretty accurate. Credit card debt is higher than it's ever been. And savings are about as low as they've ever been.
Wow.
And it just took a year or two. And you could see, I mean, that story we had this morning with the Education Trust Fund and how the schools are wanting to keep funding at the same level as it has been for the last few years.
Yep.
When we had billions coming in from the federal government and so much of that went to the school system, and they're wanting to keep that pace. But just the sheer amount of how much money and how many huge projects that cities and states have going on right now. I mean, we'll talk about a $100 million bridge one day, and the next day we're talking about a $6 billion education budget.
And how much is that prison again? That went up 100%?
Over $1 billion for the one prison.
Yeah.
And then you pull up a poll like this that says 92% of Americans have cut back in their spending in the past 6 months. It just doesn't jive.
No.
I would rather have, and maybe you're different, you can let us know on the text line or phones, I would rather have the money to buy groceries and still have money to put it back into savings than I would the state spend $2 billion on two prisons to get us out of that, or for whatever, name your project here. I'm sure they're important, and I'm sure I'm going to even enjoy some of them. But
you're going to enjoy prison?
Not prison. I might enjoy a sportsplex here or two. But,
okay.
But to me, it doesn't. I would much rather
have the money
myself to spend it. And that's what's crushing us right now is the inflation.
Yeah. Having the money in hand would be very nice. 19 minutes after 8 o'clock on FM Talk 106.5 with Dan. And happy birthday to Dalton. 251-343-0106, the Ascension Technologies text line, and also if you want to give a call.
Sopapilla, that's the Mexican dessert.
Ah, okay.
Earlier, the sopapilla, that's right.
Discussing the price of nearly everything, Dan and Dalton, 824, FM Talk 106.5. Thanks to Grant on the text line, who says, I bring my lunch to work, eat breakfast at home. We cook every night just to save, change phone companies, and do all repairs on cars and equipment. And also, he says another example, so he likes to have Dreamland Barbecue and sides for the Bama games.
Uh-huh.
No longer. I buy BOGO on slabs at Winn-Dixie. Buy one, get one free, I guess, and save at least $60. That's half my gas for the week. He's got a V8 Titan, and he drives from Sims to downtown or Mississippi every day. He says, fuel eats me up.
Mm.
Also, a lot of happy birthday wishes for Dalton mixed in here as well at 251-343-0106.
Yeah, I appreciate those. This texter said, less eating out and fewer and less expensive vacations. That's pretty much what the changes for my family have been down to a T. This texter, we were talking about the budget asks by the education system here in Alabama.
Yep.
We had some incredible numbers there.
They were big.
And Michael, I think, spot on here. He said Alabama spent nearly $15,000 per student in 2022. I mean, think about how much money that is, $15,000 per student. And he says the average private school tuition is $8,200. We have to come to grips with the fact that public schools' education problems aren't a lack of funding. Public schools and the AEA are the problem. And I think there's a lot of truth to the AEA being a big problem here. But also, so many, you know, my age and younger are the teachers who are graduating from Auburn and South Alabama and Alabama and then looking for a place to go and become teachers. And fewer than ever are going back to the Grove Hills or the Watley's or, you know, name your small town Alabama here. Oh, yeah. More and more are wanting to go to bigger cities where they can have more of a social life outside mm-hmm. of the school. And that's a big problem, too.
I think. Trying to fill those positions. And it really never occurred to me, you know, years ago. I lived in a small town. My first radio job was in Washington, Georgia. It's between Athens and Augusta. And I did the games for Lincoln County High School, which was right across the county line. So for a while there in my early, mid-20s, I was living in a small southern town.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't my cup of tea. I mean, but I didn't know that. I was just doing whatever I had to do to start a career, right?
Right.
By the way, the birthday mixer brings the birthday celebration to a halt. What's to celebrate? You're 1 year closer to being dead. That comes from Mixter. There's your happy birthday wish of the day.
It's going to get us all, isn't it? Rock and roll doctor said, I don't study up on economic data, but I would suspect that 60%+ of U.S. citizens currently have negative cash flow. I mean, yeah, if you look at that, and I need to find that chart I was discussing, but it is incredible how when all this federal money came out, all these checks, and both parties were guilty, right? Trump did it, Biden did it. Savings went out of the roof,
yeah,
way up, and credit card debt went down at the same time. But it wasn't much longer than a year, year and a half, where they swapped. Now, credit card debt is incredibly high. You also see interest rate going up, and savings has dropped way, way low. And then think about this. You've got student loans that are going to be that money's going to start coming out of accounts here in the next month or so.
I'm right in the middle of all that, and I'm not only thinking about it, I'm acting on it, and need a little cooperation from up north, and we'll get this the whole thing settled. But I'm staring right at that.
Well, I'm not trying to be a downer, but it's just gonna spending is going to drop even further once that student loan money starts coming out. Rock and roll doctor also said, and the news producers are still trying to determine if there will be a recession soon. What do you call 3 years of 14% cumulative inflation and near zero income growth? He says we've been in stagflation since Biden was inserted by the deep state. Rock and roll doctor there with some good texts.
Yeah.
Also, a lot of texts on the New Year's Eve lineup that was announced yesterday by the city of Mobile for the Moon Pie Drop. I know Slick Rick, and I've heard of Big Daddy Kane. The others, Yo-Yo, Dana Dane, and that there was one more that I was unfamiliar with, but plenty of you guys apparently pretty stoked about the New Year's Eve lineup that's coming up. Jason says, happy birthday pales in comparison to Christmas carols and a Chinese, maybe at a Chinese restaurant when you go out. Do they do Christmas carols? Is that, I guess,
from the
Christmas
movie,
story,
the
right?
Christmas story, yeah.
Yeah, when they went out for that.
Yes.
Well, you got to the Grant text. So a lot of you texting in about the economy right now.
Okay. It's Dana Dane and
Yo-Yo.
Yeah. So anyway, that's who's a coming, and that's going to be on New Year's Eve. Obviously, we had the tragedy last year with the
shooting.
Yeah. I mean, come on. And so, you know, we'll see. We'll see if that lineup gets enough people to go downtown and do it all over again. Joseph had friends in from Montgomery. Joseph and Rachel had friends in. Her family actually was in, and they were downtown. And, you know, all heck breaks loose on Dolphin Street.
And there was even a good police presence that night. But I imagine a lot of the people who were right there who scrambled when the shots started firing, it's probably going to be tough to get them back, huh?
Yeah, them for sure. They were far away from it, closer to the Moon Pie Drop itself. 8:30 on FM Talk 106.5, and we've got news straight ahead.
FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings on a Wednesday. Right now it's time to talk with Louie Arata from McConnell Automotive. Hey, Louie.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, we're doing just fine here at FM Talk 106.5. Also fine is at Service Center over there at McConnell Automotive. If anyone has any work they need done, that's the place to take it. Y'all get it done fast.
That's right. We got a great shop back there. They'll take care of all your needs. Don't forget about a great body shop back there. Thomas and all the guys and the girls back there take care of all your insurance needs once you have that unfortunate wreck. And, man, do we have some cars up front. You check all that all the stuff we got out here online at McConnell Automotive. I had Baker yesterday taking most of the pictures that we got traded in over the weekend. We got a lot of diesels, got some AT4s, got some Denalis, got a couple of F250s out there. So if you're looking for a three-quarter ton truck, we've got them. You're looking for a half-ton truck, we got them. Four-wheel drive. Hunting season's here now. It's upon us, and we got the great selection of pickups. So y'all come by and see us at McConnell Automotive. If you got any questions, give us a call, 251-476-4141.
It's that easy. We appreciate it, Louie.
Thank you.
That's Louie Arata. You'll find him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and that website, McConnellAutomotive.com.
There is a town just north of, just off of downtown Detroit, and I'm going to try to say the name of this correctly. Probably not going to do real well. It's H-A-M, so Ham, T-R-A-M-C-K, Tramck.
Hamtramck.
And it's Polish.
Ah.
So a lot of, in the Midwest and also the Northeast, you would have, back in the day, people would come from countries and they would settle in certain areas. And they would, the town would kind of feel like their old country. You know,
yeah.
They would try to feel as at home as they could. So you have these pockets of the towns or portions of towns where people came and it felt more like Poland to them. So they named the city after this Polish word, obviously.
Yeah, Hamtramck.
Hamtramck, okay.
It looks like it's pronounced.
So now, anyway, things change. And that's no longer the case in Hamtramck. It's mostly, mostly a Muslim city now. Most of the population now is the Polish population has decreased greatly. These days, Hamtramck is made up of mostly Bangladesh, Yemen, Southeastern Europe immigrants. So you have this. A lot of Islam there in the town. So anyway, the town recently made a city council came out and basically LGBTQ residents of the Hamtramck are pretty, they feel very betrayed because this mostly Muslim city council's decision to remove pride flags from public property. According to the Washington Post, the council unanimously voted in June to ban pride flags from public flagpoles, citing a desire to respect the religious rights of citizens opposed to the symbol. So this decision, months later, is still considered an act of betrayal by LGBTQ citizens. Former council member Katrina Stackpool, who identifies as gay, was quoted as saying, you know, a lot of these immigrants are more recent immigrants, too. We welcomed you. We created nonprofits to help feed, clothe, find housing. We did everything we could to make your transition here easier. And this is how you repay us, by stabbing us in the back. Meanwhile, the mayor, who is Muslim, Amir Ghalib, he defended the decision, noting that the resolution barred all but five flags from being flown on city property. So he says, we're not targeting anybody. We didn't say, take your gay pride flag and get it out of here. We just made a judgment on what flags we would allow to be flown, because he says we were trying to close the door. This is something we've also heard in Mobile, right? Close the door now. With the painting of the cannon. So we wanted to close the door so no one came in that was more of a, you know, racist or something like that. We just trying to make sure that we weren't flying flags that would offend anybody. So the motion allows for the flying of five different flags on public property: the U.S. flag, the Michigan flag, the Hamtramck flag,
oh yeah,
the prisoner of war flag, and also a unique flag representing the nations from which many of the current citizens came from.
Okay,
so that's an old, that's like a newer city flag. So so again, the LGBTQ community feels like they've been slighted, but what they're saying is, we're just saying you can fly your flag on public property. And I think they've got five flagpoles in the city, so it's not many. But in the city where it's municipal property, we're only going to allow these five flags to fly, and that's it.
Yeah.
So what do you think about that?
But that faction, they want special treatment, is what it sounds like. They want the pride flag to also be flown on the
public property.
Right.
And
it was.
It was.
So, again, when you have something that's being taken away, so that's kind of the rub there.
Well, you've seen that, and not just there, but in other cities and states with a high immigrant population. Mm-hmm. And generally, you would expect a lot of these groups to vote blue, vote Democrat, and they have over the years. But now you're getting to the point where a lot of these woke policies conflict directly
with their beliefs.
Their religious beliefs, mm-hmm. Usually religious beliefs, yep. but even just culturally.
Yeah.
A lot of these people are coming from places where, I hate to break it to a lot of the far left progressives, but America is actually a very, very kind mm-hmm. and forgiving and
inclusive
place. I mean, you look at, you know, Iraq, you look at some of these Middle Eastern places where being gay is almost a death sentence mm-hmm. to some people. They'll throw you off a building, and they have thrown plenty of people off the building. And so it makes sense that what's considered over here in parts of America to be just the way of life, you yeah. know, flying a pride flag or mm-hmm. I guess letting people use whatever bathroom they use, bring people over from the Middle East or parts of Africa or whatever, and they're just not for it.
Not down with it.
A lot of, you know, Hispanic Catholics, too. You're seeing that with a lot of the different rule changes they've made in California.
Yep.
It wasn't that long ago. Weren't there major protests in front of some of these California school boards? Whether it was they were trying to make a rule that teachers didn't have to tell parents if their child felt they were transgender or something along those lines. Or I know there was a different protest because of the bathroom rules
mm-hmm.
that men who I'd say they identify as females can use the female bathrooms. There were a lot of immigrants who said no, and they protested it. And the funniest thing, some of the media came out and blamed conservatives for these different cultures having an issue with the way that these woke policies were headed.
They blamed conservatives, generally
white men. Yeah.
Got to blame the white guy because of the way the brown guy feels about something.
Right.
Maybe the brown guy just feels that way in the first place.
They refuse to accept that, mm-hmm. that they may feel that way. It's but I don't know if this will be enough to switch any votes. I think they'll continue protesting some of these different groups at the local level, and they'll push back. But when it comes to actually seeing, you know, major numbers go from blue to red, I seriously doubt that some of these more woke policies will be enough to really make much of a difference.
I don't know. It is pretty amazing about the timing of the Supreme Court ruling on Roe versus Wade. Really torpedoed the
red wave.
Red wave. It turned out to be nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you could attribute it pretty much to that.
Yeah, I would say so, because there wasn't much reason to get out the vote for a lot of the Democrats. They weren't mm-hmm. happy with the way the economy was going or Biden, but then that was enough. And Jeff Porce talked about it plenty, too. That was enough to drive them to the polls to get out there and vote. And I thought this was interesting, too, because even with Trump absolutely destroying the rest of the Republicans in polling for the Republican primary, there's still a lot of time on the clock. I mean, still months to go. And one big money donor thinks that things could change here. This is from the Blackstone Inc. CEO, Steve Schwartzman. And I think most of us have heard of Blackstone and how big their arsenal of properties and just overall value. It's incredible how much Blackstone is worth and how much they own. But he says the U.S. public, with so many people saying they do not want an old president, whether it's Biden or Trump, that he truly thinks by the end of this thing, somebody else will be president that's not named Biden or Trump. Schwartzman, who I guess is a Republican donor, I'd never really heard of him previous to this, he said apparently the public is not that interested in really older people. When you have that kind of situation, usually something else happens. He said in 2016, few expected Trump would become president, as there were others who were leading in the contest prior to him. I think most of us remember that. And he said, they say he's among mega Republican donors seeking an alternative to Trump for the elections next year. And he's donated some to South Carolina Senator Tim Scott. He said he's temporarily holding off contributions to Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, maybe because DeSantis had been performing so poorly. When asked about a new generation of political leadership in the U.S., Schwarzman said he's always learned that, quote, there is always people who appear who you had no expectation. And he mentioned Obama's emergence back in 2008.
And you say the same for Trump's.
For Trump in 2016. Yeah. He said, all the straight line predictions of what's going to happen, I sort of just sit back and say I've seen a lot of volatility in my life. This is a guy who owns 20% of Blackstone shares. And made about $1 billion in dividends alone in 2022. So he's got money, but he thinks that it won't be Trump or Biden by the end of the day.
I read some opinions that Trump doing his, well, for instance, I guess more on the way, CNN interview, appearing with Kristen Welker on NBC. I mean, that was a long-form interview.
Right? Yeah.
So that was the only portion of it ended up on the Sunday morning program. But it was a long-form interview. Well, yeah, there's opinion out there that doesn't play necessarily to his strength, because if you're going to talk to somebody for an hour, that's a long time, a long opportunity to get yourself entangled in something that maybe you didn't think it through, or you could I mean, for a while Trump was just kind of out of mind, out of sight altogether, and the words that we heard from him were short, not Twitter, but on his own social media.
Yeah, Truth Social.
Yeah, but when you're given the opportunity to talk in long form, maybe you can make some points clearer, but at the same time, you can also slip up and say the wrong thing.
Yeah, and clips can come out that maybe damage you.
Yeah.
And I think as far as the abortion thing, it's been a winning message for Trump to say, leave it to the states. Let the states decide what they want their policy
to be. That's a good example right there, the abortion comments that he made on NBC.
But then he comes out and says, and he goes after DeSantis for the six-week ban. And I think when he goes directly after a candidate, that it's such a volatile issue, especially with Republicans. You know, some people say leave it up to the states. Some say there should be a national line, and that line should be drawn at 15 weeks. Some say 12. Some say 6. Some say it shouldn't be allowed at all, and that should be the federal rule. So I think when Trump tries to clarify exactly where he stands on it, he's going to make somebody mad.
Yeah.
And by going after DeSantis for the six-week ban, that's one of the few things that I think Trump's lost in the war of words with DeSantis.
Yeah.
DeSantis hit him pretty hard on that.
He could have just kept it with, it's back to the states. And that's where he was on it. And, and of course, he appointed those justices that made the decision. But a couple of things have happened from that decision. That decision, the timing of it, probably harpooned a lot of the Republican candidates, right? And at the same time, Trump now speaking out on it again. I think he's getting a little tangled up here on the wrong side of the conversation to a lot of his base.
Sure seems that way.
849, Jeff Poor. He knows more than me. We'll ask him. He's coming up. FM Talk 106.5. Happy birthday, Dalton. 8:53 on FM Talk 106.5, Dan and Dalton in Mobile Mornings. Jeff Poor Show is next.
It sure is, and joining us, as he does every Wednesday around this time, is Jeff Poor. Hey, good morning, Jeff.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Of course, and looking forward to your show today. Who do you have coming on today's show?
We're kicking off with State Representative Brock Colvin. He's got a pre-filed bill. If you didn't hear the Dallas County probate judge enforcing a mask mandate at the Dallas County Courthouse, well, he's got a bill that would prohibit that these local governments enacting their own mask mandates. So we're going to talk to him about that. And then we got our Wednesday regular, Joey Clark, coming on. And Will Sellers, he's an associate justice on the Alabama Supreme Court. They were all in town yesterday doing the, if y'all just heard on the news there, this hearing with the embryo and what happened at the Mobile Infirmary. But we don't talk about that, but we just kind of talk about some general things, the job and what's kind of going on in the culture.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say this Colvin bill that you'll talk with him about, doing away with government forced mask mandates. Earlier I made the comment, seems like it's about 3 years late on that, but we've kind of seen this every legislative session since the shutdown, right? There's a lot of conservatives who say they want to pass this or that and take some of the power out of Scott Harris's hands and Governor Ivey's hands, but it doesn't seem to me like much has been done in the actual sessions.
No, and the Representative Colvin's credit here, he is a freshman. This is his first real go at any significant legislation. But you're right. There's a sort of a tepidness, something will get out of one chamber and the other, it'll just die in the other, to go and reform the Alabama Department of Public Health, which, by the way, guys, I don't know if you checked the health metrics for the state. We aren't a healthy state. I don't understand why the powers that be are so wedded to the status quo as far as that goes.
By the way, this bill does not, it doesn't include like hospitals and medical centers. They can make their own rules. Was that
right? Medical centers and detention facilities.
Okay.
Yeah. And the one that I always think of is, was it this last legislative session? There seemed to be pretty a growing wave of Republicans who were going to take that power directly out of Scott Harris's hands. And whatever happened with that, did they just not have the votes?
Well, and they didn't have the votes. And then Scott Harris says something really dumb. He goes to UAB and starts talking about it and really, just talks very down about the legislature. The bill somehow gets revived. Sam Gavan, a state senator from Huntsville, pushes to get it up. But then, the thing that always, there's two Democrats in the Senate that, for whatever reason, this is one of their hills to die on, and they threaten to tie up the entire remainder of the session this year if the Republicans dare look at it, and that sort of was the end of it.
Yeah, it's when Harrison speaking off the cuff to a group at UAB reminds me of when people, they say one thing on the air and they say something completely different on a podcast. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not going to get out.
Well, then we reported 1819 News, and Scott Harris, this is that we were lying about it. But we have the audio of him saying it. He had no response for that. But I think there's going to be something coming at some point against about do something about this guy.
Also, Caleb Taylor on 1819news.com. Ivy weighing in on the West Alabama Corridor Project now that it's kind of been stalled out by Senator Elliott and the battle going on up there in Montgomery.
Yeah, and she has not said a whole lot about this. It was kind of curious. The project's under fire. It's tied up in contract review. Where's the governor? And then finally, the governor broke her silence yesterday, and it was just some generalities, nothing really new. But I think it's at least she's showing a pulse on it, I guess.
Is this the West Alabama Corridor, is it or is it not eligible for any federal funds? And are we pursuing those at all?
So we'll get two different stories here. Senator Elliott and some others say no, it isn't because of the way they're doing the permitting. Mm-hmm. They're going through the Army Corps of Engineers instead of the United States Department of Transportation. I don't understand that fully, and I'm going to try to get a better understanding of that. But others say that it is, and so does ALDOT says that it is. So it remains to be seen. What we can't get an answer about, what we can't ascertain is, if they sought federal funds. We can't get anything from Terry Sewell's office or ALDOT about the federal funding.
Right. Okay. All right, you've got a show to do, so we'll let you go. And thanks for your time this morning, and have a good show, man.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
All right, that's Jeff Poor and the Jeff Poor Show on the way in minutes. Reminder, if you miss Mobile Mornings, Jeff Poor, Midday Mobile, we put them all up in the podcast form. You can get them on our FM Talk 106.5 app or our website, or anywhere that you get podcasts. They're usually loaded by the end of the day.
8:59, FM Talk 106.5, Dan and Dalton. We will see you tomorrow, beginning at 6 a.m.